I will hand over to Swamiji.
Thank you, Leela. I think I'll just hold this. It's so beautiful to see you all tonight. It feels like Ganeshpur. It's like the weather and sitting out and doing the satsang. It feels like we're in heaven a bit. And the love torture wasn't too painful, so I have to thank you for that. What? Oh, no. Will there be songs? I hope not. Anyway, we're going to have a yagna, or a fire ceremony, in a little while. But I thought I'd share a few bits from my favorite great being. As Shivaraj said, my brief, the thing that I most appreciate in the spiritual field, are the great beings, the great yogis, who have attained the goal. And this is a very, I would say, undervalued, but extremely important aspect of spirituality. Well, they're not really undervalued because we have Jesus and we have the Buddha, among others, the founders of the great religions. But there are many, many thousands more who have attained the goal of self-realization and attained the goal of knowing the self, knowing the divine. And when it comes to this possibility for all of us, they're the ones that can help us achieve that. And I was in the position that, does this make a lot of noise when I hold it in my hand?
No, it's okay.
It's okay? All right. I was in the same position many years ago. I discovered that there were great beings alive on the planet. And I knew that I was in a spiritual quandary. I wanted to attain something. I wanted to learn something. My life wasn't working very well. And then I discovered that there were great beings available, and I decided immediately that I would go find one. Had no names and addresses. And as Shivaraj said, when you're ready, the guru appears. And so, strangely, I was led right to Baba Muktananda's door, and then I spent years in his ashram and then in his service. So he's the great being that I want to bring out on my birthday, because they say that in when it comes to spirituality, you have two fathers. One is the physical father, and the other is the father who awakens you. And so this is my second father. My first father was always quite jealous of him. He would say to me, "Koch," he says, "what does he have that I don't have?" I said, "Nothing, Pop. He just awakened my Kundalini Shakti." But he loved Baba too. So I picked just three bits that I think embody it. I want to begin by, as I always do, by quoting Baba, who used to begin every program by saying in Hindi, "Sabko bare sanmane ke saath Prem se radik swagat," with great respect and love, I welcome you all with all my heart. And that was the essence of his teaching, and you're going to hear it in this first bit, that somebody asked him, "Why are we living?" And Baba said, "This is why we live, to experience supreme bliss, the highest enthusiasm, and the highest ecstasy. A human life is mysterious and significant. It is sublime and ideal. In this human body, in this human life, we can see the Creator within. We can meet Him and talk to Him, and we can also become Him." And, you know, as I grew up, and I'm sure many of you are the same, nobody ever told me about this possibility. I call it a second kind of education, education of the soul. And yet this is the crucial and central possibility of our life, to know the self, to know the divinity within, to know who we truly are, not in a social sense, not in a personal sense, but in the ultimate sense, that there is a depth within us where there is perfect peace and perfect joy within every one of us, and it's within our reach, but we have to value it, and we have to make some effort in that direction. Baba goes on, a human life is very beautiful. For this reason, we should spread our own beauty in the world. We should spread this awareness of humanity. People should meet other people with great love and respect and honor. Divinity lies within everyone. To not respect other people is to not respect God. Wouldn't that be something if we all lived this way of looking? Baba says, I believe in humanity, and I support humanity completely. I do not belong to any religion. I do not oppose any religion, nor am I in favor of any religion either. But I welcome humanity. It's my complete understanding, it's my firm conviction that the human body is the temple of God. You know, in a temple, in a Hindu temple, there's the building of the temple, and within it there's an image of God. It might be a Shiva Lingam, if it's a Shaivite temple, or a statue of Krishna, and so on. In a Buddhist temple, there might be an image of the Buddha meditating. So he's saying that our body is the physical body is the temple, and the soul within us, the self within us, is the deity. That's the analogy. He says, this is not a mere understanding. This has come from my own experience. In this temple, the living God exists. I welcome you all with all my heart and with great love. And Baba says, Shankaracharya, the great Shankaracharya, medieval saint of India, said the goal of spiritual life is sarva dukkha nivritti paramananda prapti. Sarva dukkha, dukkha is pain. All pain to destroy, and the attainment of supreme bliss, paramananda pavritti, prapti, paramananda prapti. So this is the double goal. On the one hand, the suffering that we have, the psychological suffering, the insecurity, the unhappiness, the frustration that we all feel in life, to get rid of that completely, and then attain the goal of supreme bliss, of joy, of peace, of love that we have as potential. It's a summary of the spiritual path. Second one. This is from back in my day in Baba's ashram. We used to have question and answers. And hello.
Come up here and say hello.
Hello, Bubby. Yes. This is Gopal. This is an American seeker named Mahadev. He asked, could you please talk about surrender in worldly life? Should one remain passive and accept everything as it comes, or should one make the effort to provide for himself and accept the fruits of his own efforts? A lot of people in spiritual life have this dilemma sometimes. When do you surrender and accept things as they come, and when do you work hard and make effort? So I know I had that issue at one point. Baba says, man reaps the fruit of his own actions. If a man does not act, what fruits can he enjoy? If you haven't sown a field, what crop can you hope to harvest? Action is followed by fruits without fail, and a man is bound to experience the consequences of whatever deeds he has performed. Whatever you do, you should act in a spirit of surrender. Only then will your action become complete and enhance your joy. Otherwise, it is incomplete and dry. It does not bring success. So he's saying that that we should act well, but in a spirit of surrender, means without ego, without force, and we should be in harmony. And the Taoists in China would call it be in the Tao, be in the flow. Act naturally, but strongly. He goes on, the most important thing in life is inner peace. One should act to attain inner peace and contentment. I call this the clear space of good feeling, the CSGF. And this, we've all experienced this in life at some point, a place of relaxation, contentment, and we feel, oh, that's nice. Rarely, but we've experienced that. But it exists potentially within us. And Baba's saying that the most important thing is to find that place within us. We have the illusion that we can get to that place by doing certain external things. Then we have the illusion we can get to that place by ingesting certain substances. But the truth is that through yoga, through meditation, through contemplation, we can attain that place through our own efforts because it already exists within us. He says, once one has gained inner contentment, one will be quite happy with whatever fruits his actions bring. That is the essential thing in life. One should learn to be free from anxiety. Be free from anxiety. Think of yourself as free from anxiety. You may return from the moon or heaven. You may earn a great fortune. You may even become the master of the whole cosmos. But if you're without peace, if you're without contentment, what's the point of it all? If you have to take sleeping pills to sleep, if you have to take an enema to expel waste matter, Baba could be quite colorful. If you have to use intoxicants to enjoy ecstasy, what's the use? One should remain content with whatever destiny offers. It is inner contentment that is most essential. Without it, one remains restless. I've told many times, and it made a big impression on me, Baba once told me, be content with what you have. And I realized that contentment was not a thing that I get after doing certain things, but it was a place in me. Place in me, a decision. It was a decision I made to find contentment within, and that I was to try to find that and hold that place. He goes on. Baba says, there was a time when I didn't get food for 15 days and ate mud, when I didn't get clothes and I covered myself with the cloth they put on Muslim graves. He would steal the grave cloth on these graves. And yet I did not lose my peace or my joy. People who own cloth shops and mills come to me, yet they are without peace. So he's saying in his youth he used to steal this cloth, and now factory owners come to him who make the cloth, but they don't have peace. He says, one's greatest wealth is freedom from anxiety. That's worth thinking. That's a tremendous achievement, freedom from anxiety. We have so many worries about the future, health issues, money issues, relationship issues, image problems, so many things. But to be free from anxiety. And if one has not attained freedom from anxiety, whatever one may have acquired is of no use. If you're feeling anxious all the time, while sleeping, while awake, while sitting, while standing, what's the use of all your accomplishments? To attain freedom from anxiety, it's essential to sit still and meditate. And this was his big teaching. Baba urged everyone to meditate. And through meditation, inner strength grows, inner wisdom grows, and we get in touch with that place of contentment and joy within. He says, unfortunately, people do not know where peace lies. You must remember that a person is noble, a person is sublime, a person is divine and can accomplish whatever he or she desires. To become an ideal being, one should meditate and see the inner world at least once. You should learn to honor each other, to love each other, because everyone is worthy of love. All of you should remember that we're passing through a difficult time. I guess whenever you say that, it's true. We're passing through a difficult time. Those who have must learn to give. before all that they have is snatched away from them, they should give to the poor generously, happily, respectfully, embracing them with love. Those who have must realize that whatever they have is not going to last forever. God has created everything selflessly. He has never asked for anything in return. He has only given. This is God. He has endowed us with skills, talents, abilities, and knowledge. You have received a great deal from him. You should also learn to save and give most generously, like God. That way you can pay off the debt which you owe him. Things are difficult everywhere in the world. Learn to remain calm and still. Do not act immediately. Don't immediately react. Don't react immediately. Pray to the Lord himself. Contemplate. Contact consciousness. Contact the self. True happiness lies in giving, not in taking. You should constantly pray to the Lord. We could say it means constantly keep a contact with your inner being. Don't forget the self, the inner self, inner consciousness. He says, if you have nothing to give, you should at least give love and kind words. If you can give love and kind words, that's plenty. You don't have to give money and food. If you could give love and kind words, you're pretty rare. See others with love. Always think well of everyone. Then alone will you find peace. Otherwise, what is there in life we could call significant? Before honoring and loving others, you must learn to honor and love yourself. First thing, first principle. My message always is meditate on your own self, honor and worship your own self, because the Lord dwells within you as you. So do not slight the Lord who dwells in your own heart. That's Baba's message he would always give. He would say, meditate on the self, honor self, God dwells within you as you. I got one more. This is from my biography. This is a question I asked Baba back in my days in the ashram. It's quite a few years ago. Should I tell you how many years ago? 1972, this was. Figure it out. Shankar asked, what is the nature of the will? What is its relationship to the mind? What causes a weakness in the will, and how is it corrected? Do small acts like giving up tea, etc., strengthen the will? It's very odd. First of all, it's obvious that I was having a problem feeling weak inside, not feeling strong, feeling like my will was not strong. And the other thing was, I've told you this before in this context, that I had an argument with my late wife, who was also in the ashram, and she was giving up tea. She proudly told me, that I've given up tea. And I said, that's silly. What does that do for you? How about giving up your ego? I said, no, I'll never give up my ego, but I'll give up tea. So I was trying to get Baba to come out of my sight, and he did, actually. But he also gave many good messages. He said, the will has the greatest significance because it is by his will that the divine has created this most magnificent universe in the pure void. God created this world full of diversities by the primal thought which arose in his mind, namely, let me become many. What does the Bible say? Let there be light, right? So the primal movement in consciousness, in universal consciousness, there was a movement that said, let's do this, let's create this. So the way that this scripture talks about it is, let me become many. I'm one now, I'm by myself. Let me become all these people. He goes on, it was by his power of, by the power of that thought alone that he created this universe. There were no engineers, architects, laborers, or masons to work for him at that time. That's a pretty amazing job he did to create this whole complex universe. In the Upanishads also, hello, the seers say again and again, O my mind, think noble, sublime thoughts. Our will becomes weak and feeble when we let our mind think all kinds of negative and hateful thoughts, when we let it engage itself in all kinds of fancies with all kinds of ideas, whether they are necessary or not. And as Baba said that, I understood what my issue was. I was having tearing thoughts. I was having thoughts that attacked me. I'm no good, I'm worthless, I'll never attain anything. I'm bad yogi, I'm no good, blah, blah. And by having these negative thoughts, I was vitiating my will and it drained the lifeblood. And we have all kinds of bad thoughts, jealousy thoughts, aggressive thoughts, regret, thoughts of regret and hatred and comparisons and all that. And all these drain our very lifeblood, make us weak, destroy our will. So let's do a little dharana there. The Upanishads say, oh my mind, think noble, sublime thoughts. Tell your mind, talk to it just for a minute. You can talk to your mind. Say, oh my mind, think positive and uplifting thoughts. Tell it. You're the boss. Oh my mind, think positive and uplifting thoughts. See if it likes it. You can tell if it likes that. Oh my, think positive and uplifting thoughts. Love yourself and love everyone. Okay. If Baba says, if you live a life of discipline, if you carry out the promises you've made, and if you practice self-restraint, you'll become stronger. There's nothing more important than purifying your mind and thus strengthening your will. So don't let negative thoughts come in. Thoughts of self-hatred, thoughts of hating others, and thoughts of that just sort of attack your own life. And so, and if you avoid that, then your will is strengthened. He says, it is when the will of the mind becomes clean and pure and taintless that you get into what is called samadhi, the nirvikalpa state. So when the mind becomes quiet, you get into the clear space of good feeling, you get absorbed in a deep state of meditation, state that's so renewing and uplifting. But you can only do that when the mind's not attacking you with negative thoughts and so on. He says, this entire universe is the result of a pure thought on the part of God. If a man with a pure mind entertains a certain thought, it is bound to take concrete shape, saying that if you have a strong mind, then things will happen according to your thought. That means you can't have ego thoughts. Ego thoughts won't happen. The best way of strengthening the will is to develop more and more faith in the Lord. The purer and stronger your faith in the Lord is, the stronger will be your will. As the will becomes stronger, it's not difficult to give up petty habits, such as taking tea. That is child's play. Suddenly I went. Before that I was thinking, oh God, I have terrible negative thoughts about myself and also about everybody else. I didn't like anybody. I didn't like myself. And I'm getting hammered. And then he says that, and I felt, yes. Then I looked over at Girija and said, In the Upanishads, thinking sublime thoughts is given the highest place. To make your will stronger, you should make your mind think less and less, or entertain fewer and fewer thoughts as the time goes by. If you must, think good thoughts. You know, we follow our mind around, our mind goes on a negative road, and it takes us down that road. And it can be paranoid, but even less than paranoia, just normal paranoia. And we go down that thing, and it sucks our lifeblood. So he's saying, try to keep the mind still, or think good thoughts. You must not let your mind think bad thoughts. One's thoughts should be clean and wholesome, and if possible, one should try to get beyond even those thoughts into the state which is free from thoughts. In other words, meditate. This way, one can acquire an enormous power by means of which he can create a new world from within. Everyone should strive diligently to keep the mind still, to keep it free from thoughts. Those who keep their mind silent find that in course of time they will become stronger, their body becomes younger. The seven constituents of the body acquire a new force. That's Ayurveda. What are the seven constituents? Blood and phlegm and bile. What else? Whatever. What is it? What do you say?
Jesus.
Huh?
Jesus.
What is it?
Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus. That's the eighth one. Thinking evil thoughts about others, feeling jealous of others, being greedy about what others have, taking unnecessary interest in what other people are doing, all these are signs of a weak-willed person. A person who has a strong will never occupy himself with these undesirable tendencies. So Baba gave me a great answer there, didn't he? So I had to fight the tendency to think he was criticizing me, and then I realized that I was getting a great teaching. So yes, the goal is to keep our minds moving in good channels. If you can do that, you may not be the master of the whole world, but you'll be the master of yourself, and you'll have found the goal of happiness. What's that? Okay. So now to do that, we're going to do a little ritual, a yajna, and this is a fire ritual. And it's a mysterious and ancient practice in which we light a fire, and then we make offerings to that fire, and we say mantras. And the goal is to connect with that higher power, that consciousness power, that power within ourselves. And these practices are very, very old. They go back to most ancient times, thousands of years ago. And the way we're going to do it, we're going to chant Gajananam. Do we have this on the sheets? Okay, it's on the sheets. And while that's going on, our priests are going to light the fire, and then we're going to sing the Guru Padukas, which is there, and then say certain mantras. Triambakam mantra, the Mrityunjaya mantra, which is, we're just going to do 11 times. Is that on the sheet, all this on the sheet?
It's all on the sheet.
Yeah? Triambakam yajamahe sugandham pushtivardhanam, etc. And then we're going to do 108 Sri Gurave, Om Sri Gurave Namaha Swaha. And then we'll end it and we'll have a short meditation. So we make offerings to the fire. The fire we regard as consciousness or the self. And while we do it, we contemplate and we get in touch with that clear space of good feeling. So once again, with great love and respect, I welcome you all with all my heart. You're very kind to me on my birthday. And if you were this kind every day, I would have a... I'd live for 100 years, which, so please don't do that. Be mean, be nasty to me, so I don't have to live that long. And so we'll begin now with the Gajananam and light the fire. So.
Namah Vigneshvara Parampara.
Gura Tamahavibhutya Omkara Mama Pratipadinibhyam Namo Namashri Guru Padukabhyam Hotra Nihavisha Hotu Omani Sarva Kritibhasamanam Yabrahmatadbo Davitari Nibhyam Namo Namashri Guru Padukabhyam Kamari Sarpa Raja Garudabhyam Nidhi Pradabhyam Bodha Pradabhyam Drutta Moksha Dabhyam Namo Namashri Guru Padukabhyam Anatta Samsara Samudra Tara Moka Tabhyam Stira Bhakti Dabhyam Jadya Bhisamsho Shana Vairavabhyam Namo Namashri Guru Padukabhyam Om Shanti Shanti Shanti
Swaha. Om
can come up. Come up.
Om Shri Gurave Namaha. Oh. yuga yuga se sohi antarame yuga yuga se sohi chiti shati to jagavo sada guru joka se joka jagavo niram sada chiniramitaro sada guru joka se joka Sachi jota jage hridaya me Sachi jota jage hridaya me So amana rajagamo Saraguru jota se jota jagamo Nirantara timiramitamo Saraguru jota Jivana Mukta Ananda Vinasi Jivana Mukta Ananda Vinasi Saranana Saranana Gamo Saraguru Jota Se Jota Jagamo Nirantara Timiramitamo Saraguru Jota Joga se joga jogao, Saraguru joga se joga jogao, Niran Saratim Niramitao, Saraguru joga se joga jogao.
And I will meditate for just 5 minutes, sit quietly, and focus on that inner being. Get in touch with the inner being. No one can do it for you. This is something you have to do yourself. Look within and find your essence, yourself, your soul, your true identity. So just for 5 minutes, let's sit and focus on their inner being.